This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Piano player, singer, arranger, composer, jazz musician, and soul singer, all of these terms and more apply to Ray Charles. He's been on the music scene for half a century, and he's still referred to as the genius. Rock historian Ed Ward has the first of a two-part series on Ray Charles.
She bring my coffee in my favorite cup. That's why I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love it so.
Sometime in 1998, Ray Charles will pass a milestone few other entertainers ever have, 50 years in show business. If he's true to form, he won't make a big deal out of it. He's always looked more to the future anyway. The tributes have already started pouring in, from a documentary film to a sumptuous 5-CD box from Rhino Records. And scattered everywhere is the word genius, which he acquired early in his career and which continues to follow him around. Genius or not, Ray Charles has changed the face of American music over the course of 50 years, 62 albums, and uncountable singles. He was born in 1930 in Albany, Georgia, and raised by two remarkable women, both of whom died in his youth. As a young boy, he watched his younger brother drown despite his efforts to save him, and not long thereafter, a mysterious illness cost him his sight. At the age of 7, he was packed off to a school for the blind in St. Augustine, Florida, where he learned to read, repair radios, and systematize his knowledge of the piano, which had begun in a honky-tonk near his home. Most of all, he listened to the radio, soaking in all the styles of contemporary popular music. At the age of 15, he left school and settled in Jacksonville, forming a trio that blatantly imitated Charles Brown and Nat Cole, the two most popular black musicians of the day.
I want to tell you a story. Of a boy who was once in love. I want to tell you a story. Of a boy who was once in love. And how the girl that I loved robbed me of the happiness I dreamed of.
After 3 years, he'd gotten nowhere. And one night, he asked his guitarist to get out a map and find the place in America furthest from Tampa, where they were at the moment. Within a few weeks, they were there, Seattle, a city with a large military presence and lots of places to play. Before long, he was in demand and even had his first fan, a kid 3 years younger than himself named Quincy Jones. Somehow, Jack Lauderdale, who owned the Swingtime label in Los Angeles, heard about Ray and signed him to a contract.
Well, I wanna be your lover man, so baby, won't you let me hold your hand, kiss me, baby.
Kiss Me Baby, one of his last singles for Lauderdale, shows his mature style coming into existence, with the gospel-edged singing he'd soon use to revolutionize black popular music. It was released in 1953, as Swing Time was going under. A few months later, Atlantic Records bought his contract and Brother Ray was on his way. Atlantic was based in New York, owned by jazz fans, and very serious about who and how they recorded. At first, they used their own musicians to back Ray, and the results were unspectacular. But Ray had been working up a great touring band, and one day he called Atlantic's Ahmet Erdogan and demanded he come down to Atlanta to record him and the band. Erdogan did, and they never used studio musicians for Ray Charles again.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town. To me, oh yeah, she
was good to me. Oh yeah, she says I love it.
Erdogan's partner at Atlantic, Jerry Wexler, knew that music like this came from the church. In fact, I've Got a Woman is a rewrite of a gospel song that goes, I've got a savior, way over Jordan. Wexler called the quality he heard in Ray Charles's voice soul, and the word caught on. It's perfectly descriptive of the way Charles approaches even the straightest material.
Do you know way down, way down up on the Swanee, talking about the river, yeah, you know so far,
so far,
so far away.
That's where
my heart is a turning, and that's where the old folks stay.
Another idea he stole from the church was female backup singers, and the Raylettes, as they became known, were the perfect foil to his gritty voice. What's hardest to believe about Ray Charles' tenure at Atlantic, where he recorded a significant number of the records he's best known for, is that it only lasted until 1960, a mere 6 years, and that it wasn't until 1959 that he recorded an impromptu jam that became one of his signature hits. What I Say, with its suggestive interplay between Ray and the Raylettes, was Ray's first top 10 pop hit, and with it, he became one of the top performers in the country. But Brother Ray was looking forward, and late in 1959, he was approached with a business proposition he really couldn't turn down. In 1960, he signed with ABC Records and started yet another revolution.
Ed Ward currently lives in Berlin. We'll feature the second part of his Ray Charles profile later this week.